from George Blood.
Could I make a suggestion, Rip Robbins here, is that I think, you know, National is more capable to put the first dollar down, and they're committed for $35,000. If they were to put the $35,000 down and start developing the publicity campaign and public relations campaign to go around this, so that it would give the stations, let's say, another 3 months, using materials to generate interest and public interest in this, then... You know, this is what I mean by having the plan, and I'm sure you're going to get extra time to find out some of the details, but we really need to strategically think of the plan, but if we move with mandated spending, then it forces everyone in place to do something about it, to actually do something about it. And it's a big challenge, but it's a great positive campaign for Pacifica. I just don't see how this is as much of a struggle even as station fundraising.
Right, and I assume, you know, in some of that planning stage of what we can report back to the board, maybe not by November, but maybe by December or mid-December, you know, some sort of plan of helping with fundraising, you know, as Rip, you know, sort of the intention was that the mandate has to be there to identify the burning building. But that doesn't mean that you're restricted by $25,000 of your surplus and that's it. That you can always create the bigger pot of gold. So the idea was, or the intent that RIP has, is to use this as a commitment to actually fundraise off of it. And actually I think Phil Jackson's ideas and the subgroup is riffing off of this idea as well, is that we really do have a collection worthy of publicity and being able to fundraise. So I think everybody's intention is the same.
Uh-huh.
I don't think it's adversarial. I forgot where my train of thought got lost.
Is it premature for us to go over this language and vote on it before we go down the road here?
I finished my thought. So that the archives would help each station fundraise for their kick-in of $25,000 each year. Dwayne Bradley and I have already sort of envisioned a Texas archive fundraising event that we would bring in a celebrity, maybe Amy Goodman, maybe somebody else, and raise the money for Houston to kick into the archives so that, you know, Brian and the team of the archive staff, you know, is there and capable of being able to help fundraise at each station. So actually, you know, to think of it as being just money taken out of a pocket is a little short-sighted. I think that the intention and the ideas that are flowing can be culled and used to the positive to raise the $300,000 in 2 years quite easily.
Thank you.
Shall we return to this language? Or is everyone in need of more discussion here? Shall I take that as an affirmative?
Yes.
What I have at this point that I believe we're about to vote on: the Archives Committee asks that the motion to rescind be removed from the October 30th PNB teleconference agenda, and that we return to the timeline of the original motion passed at the Berkeley PNB meeting in October. It was on Sunday, right, that it got passed? Because that was October 1st.
Yes.
That's right, isn't it? Shall we proceed, or do I hear more discussion on the language?
No objection.
Everybody's good to go on it? Mm-hmm. Then all those in favor of this language and this motion, please say aye.
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 All those opposed? It is passed unanimously that we will put forth that motion.
Now, who's going to do it? How's this going? I mean, that's because that gets into my agenda item, so I'd like to know the process by which this is actually going to happen.
Don White here.
I can do that. Brian, or Don can do that. Either one can do that.
I will type it up and send it out to the committee
yeah.
later this evening. I am going to have to leave to go to another meeting, but I will do it. It'll be late tonight.
It seems to me, I wasn't necessarily volunteering to do it. But it seems to me that the appropriate place is when the chair of the PNB asks for approval of the agenda. And then RIB or SARF or someone, whoever, can say, well, we oppose the agenda as proposed, and our committee of the PNB has a motion to strike an agenda item. Because what we're asking is that this not be put on the agenda. So it seems
correct.
Like the very first process at the PNB, when the agenda is approved, that one of us from this committee needs to move to strike that item.
It, and my question, since I'm not one of those, who in name is going to do that?
I think they're just discussing that now, Jane.
Okay.
Don, you want to do that?
It's possible. Rip, do you have any objection to one of us doing it, or would you like to?
Well, let's see. I know that there's three of us that are on the committee that are board members, and who is the fourth? Is there a fourth or a fifth even?
Well, Teresa is one.
No, Phil Jackson.
Phil Jackson.
Phil Jackson. There are five of us.
A graphic artist. You can have a secretary do it.
Yeah. I guess it's from the, it either comes up as a committee report item, which then at that point of the...
No. Don's right. It has to happen when you approve the agenda.
Well, then it either needs to come from the five of us simply referring it on behalf of the committee, and
that
five of us are referring it, I would say that it would need to come up for, you know, the discussion or a vote.
Are all five of you that are on the PNB in agreement to do this?
I'm in agreement with
this. Sarve, Phil, Don.
Well, I hadn't thought this would come up in this discussion, and I thought we were almost done. But you're right. If we waited, it would take 2/3 vote to overturn a set agenda.
Yep.
Whereas
that's right.
At the beginning, it's just a majority vote, and
that's
so
right.
I do see the reason for bringing it up early. But
yeah.
It does put Phil in a difficult position. He's on another committee that's discussing it. Maybe Don, are you also on that committee? You said, I think. But
well, yes, I met with Phil and that group in Walnut Creek, and I haven't been involved since then. So I don't know if I've been excommunicated or not.
Well, only because. Because I would say that, you know, I think that what we're trying to do right now is not derail the some kind of forward momentum that's just starting to build, actually, and we need to spur national office on this.
Not directly as involved as you, Rip, as one of the original creators, and I think has it in his belly that he wants it to happen.
Yeah, but if there's other language that would actually specify that there's going to be additional fundraising and that it would offset station commitments, then what I'm looking for is how can this committee's
out in the planning, doesn't it?
Well, then, you know, I want to include them because I want more directors to have buy-in on this whole project. So if it requires a substitute motion to the or an amendment to the original motion that has some other language in there, I just would want Phil and Don to know they can go back. I mean, if the five of us are going to present this to the board, I also want them to know that the intent is to try to come to some agreement among all the parties involved. That would be my hope.
Yes. I think we're on the same page. I think Phil is probably on that same page, that Phil's vision for a fairly large fundraising campaign does not contradict the motion that was passed in Walnut Creek, except to the extent that if large amounts of money were suddenly made available, it might release some of the stations from making the contributions that the motion calls for. But if other funds are not available, they should be held to the degree that it's possible. They should be held to the spirit and the letter of that motion at the board meeting.
Why can't that happen once other funds are in hand? It seems that seems really premature to me.
Yeah, I agree with you.
Wait a minute. I don't think I understand what Jane just said. What did she say? What did she mean?
I meant that it seemed irresponsible to me to even give a hint of letting the stations off the hook until that other proposed money is in hand or damn near.
I don't think Jane understood what I said. Or maybe I was clumsy in saying what I meant. We're trying to preserve the motion that was passed at Walnut Creek.
Yes.
And we know that there are other fundraising initiatives in the works. So we want this taken off the agenda on the 30th so that this can be studied more and there can be the planning carried out that was in Rip's motion.
Correct.
So, I didn't mean...
Stop at that, and if other funds come in, is there anything wrong with reevaluating the assessment requirement?
No.
But right now, we ain't got it, and we do have a commitment for some funds that we desperately need, and I'm not in support of giving them up or weakening the opportunity that they be taken away.
Wait,
is in the hand.
Madam Chair, it's just a communication problem. Jane
yes,
is under
I,
the impression that I'm trying to
Jane,
negate.
I think that's what he's saying.
Yeah. Jane, I think you and I are on the same page. We're just not communicating well. But I agree with you that we don't want to negate the motion that obligated the stations to make these contributions. You and I are on the same page.
Okay. And I think that it's wise that the language that we've written is fairly succinct so that we're not second-guessing any of the path in the future.
Exactly.
All we're saying is hang on a minute and let us gather our wits.
The reason that I would prefer to be with a group of directors is because I really don't want to be this to be seen as me reacting in a political way to a motion by LaVarne. And so if I could get other directors to sign with me, I'm happy to be part of the group of bringing this forward from the committee.
Don, will you lead the...
Well, I don't need to lead it, but I think...
Well, someone human being has to ask Mr. Adelson... When it comes to approving the agenda, you want an amendment, and this is what you want. Some one human being has to agree to do that.
I think that's what we're discussing, how that is going to be done.
Right. And Sarv, you're in agreement, right?
No, I'm in agreement. Rip, you can go ahead and you can talk on our behalf. That's fine. We have the same understanding.
I would agree with Sarv that Rip could be our spokesperson, and Phil Jackson, are you on board with this?
Oh yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. So
okay.
We have,
well, sure. I'll do that as long as I can just name that that we're all on the committee and that we're all we're bringing this forward on the committee's behalf.
Right. And Teresa Allen is the only one that we don't have on board yet. She's still. But the four of us who are on this.
Three says on the finance committee.
I'm sorry.
Three says on the finance committee.
Someone's speaking, but I can't hear them.
He said Teresa's on the finance committee.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Mm-hmm.
So at this point, we have agreement from Phil, Rip, Sarv, and Don.
Correct.
That they will facilitate this happening.
Yes.
And I will get the language that we passed this evening later tonight to everybody.
That it was approved unanimously,
yep.
Madam Chair.
Yes, of course.
I think it should be noted that Teresa Allen did not say she was against it. She just kind of taking a wait see.
Yeah, that's right. That's all I meant. She's not against it, but she's not going to be one of the four of us who's going to call for this necessarily, I think. Right.
Okay, that's cool.
Okay. May we move on?
Yes, please.
And just a minute. I've written it on another sheet of paper and lost where we're moving on to. Brian, is there more on the fundraiser days, or are we covered at this point? with what you'd like to put out there.
Yeah, I don't have anything more to say until we get to the point of actually being able to release some programming information and stuff like that to promote, and then we can actually start letting you guys do some of the promotions and using it to get to any email list that you have or whatever.
Right. I mean, we're at about 5 weeks from it at this point.
Will it help get the promos on the air?
Yeah. Then shall we move on to the next item?
Madam Chair, I have one information.
Yes, sir.
Personal privilege. I have to about 10 minutes, and then I have to leave.
Let's see how we can do. I also myself have a meeting in half an hour that I have to be at. Those of you who are on the call can certainly continue if you want to, but let's see how we can do here. The next item is, Jane, did you want to discuss a committee versus task force?
Yeah, and Brian, are you there?
Yes, I'm sure. Of course I'm here.
Would you help me a little at this point? Because it seems to me that all the arguments that I would have said in support of the task force have been indirectly already laid out by the issue of that Teresa raised of it going to the Finance Committee, and I think we did better as a task force with less bureaucratic hoops we had to go through as a formal PNB committee. And if folks don't have time to talk about it now, I don't know that I can get through to tired minds, but I do think that it was a bad move, and I think it's going to prove to be more so as time goes on.
Madam Chair, this is Sarf.
Go ahead, Sarf.
I the sentiments Jane expressed, I share them. I fully share them. And when this topic came before the Pacific National Board, I opposed it on many, many grounds, and because I thought task force was a good way to go. It's a large body, 15, 20 members on the committee, and getting quorum and all that kind of stuff is not easy, but it passed. So I'm not quite so sure if tonight we can hash it out, but I think it's worthy of our attention. Maybe next meeting we should.
I agree. I just, when we were planning the agenda, it was something I wanted on, and all of the discussion has supported my argument.
Yeah.
However, I guess I would add that, as a standing committee, having just voted to bring to the PNB to rescind the agenda item is much more important than a task force of five.
I agree. No problem. We weren't there when this item came on the agenda. I think right. I'm just asking that we put a bookmark on this issue and see as time evolves whether the decision to come closer under the umbrella was good or not. That's all.
I agree to the bookmarking it or tabling it and just keep it in everybody's mind. Like, is this committee working or not working?
Amen.
So far, so good, I guess.
The last item that we had on the agenda for this evening was, I believe, Steve's about the organization as a membership-driven organization. Steve, are you still there?
And I'm still here. The purpose was to see if we could evade some of the onerous copyright restrictions that apply when you try to sell something that isn't yours. The laws may be different for giving away something that isn't yours.
except it may not be so different in the minds of the people who actually own the material.
Well, that may be, but let's first decide what the issue truly is, and then when we go to these people and ask for their permission, it's not so much permission, it's merely trying to stay on their good side. I've run across the same issue a number of times. Once recently where the speech of Chomsky, which he has said all his speeches are in the public domain, anyone can use them. However, in order to use it for, in this case, Free Speech Radio News, we sought his permission, which he gave, even though we had a right to go take it, capture it, put it on CD, and give it away. But we would not want to do that without his permission, and he, of course, would not hold his permission. You know, it's a different situation.
Don White here.
Don, go ahead.
Yeah, you know, I'm not a lawyer, and I don't know copyright law and so on, but the same idea of giving away something where no one is making a profit actually can be superimposed on a 501c3 foundation and the archives giving away recordings to, let's say, the affiliates that are non-profits and so on. The owner, I think the owner of the tapes and so on, or in this case, maybe like in the case of Martin Luther King, the owner of the language and so on, probably has control over it, whether you're giving it away or selling it. I know in a secondary high school where I was advisor to the yearbook, we wanted cartoonists to give us property, and they had to approve what cartoons were used and so on. They didn't charge, but it was a non-profit. It was an educational institution, but they still invoked their rights, the Disney studio and the Schultz Peanuts people and so on. So I'd be interested in asking Brian, when you give something away, when we give something and don't charge for it, if we didn't charge for it, would that, you know, do an end run around copyright? Is it because we ask for a fee?
I'm sorry. Didn't mean to interrupt you.
No, I'm going to go
please,
ahead.
No, please. I was going to ask Addie and Bonnie to.
I administer music publishing.
Yes.
And I'm just puzzled by this because, frankly, as far as that goes, you don't have any more right to give away the music of my clients, whether you're giving it away or selling it for thousands of dollars.
Yeah, that makes
you
sense.
You still need my permission. And likewise, I am able to clear gratis uses, whether it's to a non-profit, for a profit, not for a profit, or to a commercial endeavor.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just having a little trouble understanding the benefit of this.
Can I redirect the discussion? You're using music that was created to make a profit and to be a commercial item is one thing. Martin Luther King's speech was delivered and treated as news. It was covered by the media and broadcast worldwide. It was not an entertainment product. It was not created for a profit. He may own his language in a certain sense, but that is out there. And WBAI or KPFA or Pacifica and the archives are technically and can qualify as news distribution entities. They are redistributing it even more widely. And this is why I asked for a lawyer who's familiar with this to come in and give us some definitive language. I would not want to use material against the expressed desires of the owners. However, if you go to these owners and explain to them in a nice way that we have the right to use it, we can arrive at a much different arrangement than we would have if they feel that they have total control and can tell us to go screw ourselves.
Our issue generally is more an issue of the amount of money it costs us to actually talk to people than it is a licensing fee.
I have a question, just a point of information, which either one of you could answer, and that is, Brian probably might answer, is how much of the output of the archives, such as the From the Vault show or the sets of CDs, how many of those have releases and other are covered already that you know of? Or is there a percentage number, Brian, that you could give us?
No, actually, it's never been documented. You know, that's the thing, is the documentation is very, very weak.
for from the vault, we do our best to contact the estate or the papers or the people who own the papers or the family members of them or them themselves. So, I'm really proud that we're able to sort of spend our time, as Addie so rightfully said, spend hours trying to find people that can tell us more information about a recording. It's sort of a guessing game. It's sort of taking all the things that confound everybody from lawyers to courts to, NPR to Pacifica, an incredibly complex, confounding thing, and try to work with materials and make them more accessible. How I define it, may or may not work in court, may be used by a lawyer to the good or to the bad. So I can't really say, particularly in a public stream, how I arrive at my decisions on how to use it and how to release it. But I ultimately try to think about the integrity of the recording and the integrity of the speaker and how we're using it and what's the use of the original recording. In terms of the whole license and copyright, I think what I can update you on as far as what my what I'm trying to contribute to the foundation is that I had a meeting with Lonnie and Greg about this issue and, what I could bring to the table, and that I realized that, we really are at a point of collecting data and information so that a committee or the board can make an informed decision about how to use these materials, whether it's for download on the net or whatever. Addie and I know that right now it's a tape-by-tape case. Nick, as week by week, we go in from the vault and we look at each tape-by-tape that we're going to use and try to figure out who it is, how we find them, if they're dead or alive, and how to use them. We do get permissions often for premium use and get things signed. Everything that I've produced, I think, does have a signature release or a contact with the estate or the papers. Prior to that, there's little documentation.
Ryan, can I ask a question? When a broadcast is made on a Pacifica station, absent any restriction to the contrary, can you broadcast that again the same day or next week?
It depends. Some things will say you have rights to this for repeat use for 1 year only or until a specific date. Sometimes it says in perpetuity. Sometimes it says nothing. And the laws that govern that are so confusing that it would take a tape-by-tape case to go to court and be decided upon.
I don't mean old stuff. I mean, for example, tomorrow, if Amy Goodman has a guest on her show, and he comes on, he talks for half an hour, and she broadcasts that again later on in a day or next week, there's no problem with that. Nobody says anything. Theoretically, when we have a program that we broadcast once, twice, 1,000 times, or decide that we're going to put it on CD and allow it for broadcast for anybody who wants it over the internet, it's a continuing curve, and we need a lawyer to give us some argument that we can advance to put all these things under the same umbrella so that you won't have to go through this on a tape-by-tape basis. There is or should be a unified field theory that will encompass many or most of these cases, and I would like a lawyer to sit down with us and try to find it so that we'll have a starting point.
Right, included with my discussion with National Office about collecting data, I did offer some people that could do exactly what you talk about, Steve. One of our consultants, Karen Coyle, who wrote one of the ports that's posted on our technical report page on our website. She did the database report and analysis for the archives. She's actually working, in the Society of American Archivists as an independent to work out a system on how to deal with copyrights based on information that you don't have,
right?
As well as the information you do have. So her program and her actually writing the program, she's one of the geniuses in terms of cataloging and doing this, and Addie can even speak more to her illustrious career. But she's the one that actually is creating this thing, this magic wand that can tell us more about stuff we don't know. And to have her work with Pacifica and the archives to solve some of these problems would have been an enormous contribution.
Yes, and at some point, this is Jane, I'd like to support Steve in that I think we need, if not one, preferably two legal minds that we can bounce questions off and have a discussion and have it be a meeting solely devoted to that. So we all know more.
Bonnie?
Yes.
I think this issue of copyright, it's also a big issue in the in our programming policy. And as you remember, that Section 3 is left alone. It was not passed. And I think our legal minds, our Pacific attorneys and others, they're working on it, trying to resolve that.
Correct.
And so maybe we can touch bases with them later on and see what progress is being made there.
I don't know if you all got, I think, Addie, didn't you pass out the article that was in the New York Times to everybody on the committee?
Yes.
Yeah.
I don't know if you all had a chance to read it, but it was about how Google is dealing with some of these issues or having to deal with some of these issues. It's so arcane, this stuff. That it's a really long trail for us to come to. I mean, look, a company the size of Google still doesn't have cut and dried information and advice on this that can be addressed to a general policy on copyright. They also are dealing with this on a case-by-case basis.
And, you know, don't even forget that, you know, Pacifica has an interesting view of whether or not volunteer programmers own the programming or Pacifica owns the programming.
Correct.
Throughout history, I've seen papers and interviews with Pacifica programmers that, at a time they absolutely knew that what the work that they did for Pacifica is owned by Pacifica. Whereas now there's, information that would suggest the contradiction to that. Not to that specifically, but Addie, if you have anything to add, now would be a good time.
Well, yeah, sure, if it would be helpful.
It would be helpful.
But so there were times in history the stations that I know, where at various times volunteer programmers, unless another contract was written, a specifically other contract was written, knew that their programming, which was produced for the station broadcast and with the station's resources, were the property of Pacifica. And actually, as volunteers, we all signed off on that. Then that started getting, just really, really sloppy. And I had spent a lot of time with Pacific and the National Board in the maybe early 80s trying to get a universal policy, and that never really happened. So a lot of things that are happening now, I just don't know. It's like if we would go from the policy that we would assume would have been grandfathered, we would assume that Pacifica owns that programming, but I'm just not sure what kind of representations were actually made to producers at any of the stations in, like, let's say, the last 10 years.
Right. And in terms of, the organization really collecting, working on some of the project, I asked Lonnie and Greg if anybody was starting a file of information that was gathered from Dave Adelson and Dr. Lessig and Pete Karakis and myself and the lawyers and such, and that there did not seem to be a file being started of information to gather, which is why I suggested a file to collect information. And then this is one of the things that would go into the file. What is the record of Pacifica's contracts, and what is the status now? Can the stations provide the foundation with the various contracts that they have with Pacifica programmers?
Madam Chair, I have to leave.
All right,
me.
Sir.
Thank you.
I have to leave in about 5 minutes.
Okay, well, should we talk about wrapping up the meeting?
Because
I'm...
You, You know, I please don't let me having to leave to go to another KPFA-related meeting stop you from continuing if you'd like to. Or
no, it's
we
going
can
on 2 hours. I'm
meeting.
Yeah, it's going on 2 hours. I'm willing to fail.
Set another date and time, please, before we do that?
I think one way to wrap up Steve's inquiries would be to recommend that that we ask the ED to give us some attorney time to a specialist, to a specialized attorney. Brian, I mean, is there some way that we can do something about
Before the PNB meeting, Addie and I did counsel through the national office in Phil Osageda, an attorney who answered some questions of ours regarding the archives, and we did not share that particular document with the PNB or with the committee as per Greg and Phil's recommendation. But there, you know, there is information that you know the foundation does have and what we have, but I'm not sure that I'm not sure how to share it or how to put it in because we did not get permission from the attorney of how that information was to be used.
Did
I say that right, Addie?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I would just say completely unofficially that part of it was that they didn't like the information.
Right.
Who didn't like the information? The attorneys or the national office?
The national office.
Well, my suggestion would be that we spread a wide net. This is a telephone operation, and see if we can get some pro bono time for some even dialogue between the two attorneys who may not always agree, and answering our questions so we become better educated, since one of the things I thought we were all trying to do was to open up the process. And therefore, I understand Brian's situation, but that doesn't apply to some of the rest of us who are not staffed, not paid to do this.
Well, Brian would probably be able to come up with what would be required to have a comprehensive policy on how to determine what's involved in a particular recording in with regard to what kind of licensing and what kind of conditions. And I think Steve actually mentioned some of those. I'm not speaking very well to those categories, but that is that what you're looking for, Steve, is a plan to move forward to some goal of having a lot of these questions addressed? Is that something, I mean, is that what you're, What do you want to have happen?
Steve, are you there?
I don't know how to paraphrase what the advice was given to me by the attorney or to the foundation and to Addie and myself answering our questions. Some of the questions or some of the answers did give us a way to move forward with some of Steve's and some of the board's intentions to make the materials more accessible. But you know what? It costs money. And we haven't gotten to the point of the foundation or anybody taking a look at that information and really putting some numbers to it to say, if you want to move forward, you're going to have to go through some major copyright clearance hoops.
Well, is there a way, without violating anybody's confidentiality, to ask Greg to please release that information to the Archives Committee?
I think actually during the distribution conversation during the PNB, Greg was the one that brought it up. So I didn't feel the need to sort of, you know, whistleblow or do anything crazy and release legal information as legal advice when I'm not a lawyer or something crazy like that. But Greg did address the fact that there had been legal counsel, and the legal counsel agreed that there wasn't enough information known. The paperwork and the record keeping of Pacifica wasn't good enough. And that at this point, tape-by-tape case basis is how you review your material. Is that best paraphrased, Addie?
Yeah.
Don White here. May I just ask if Steve Brown is still on the call? Because I had a follow-up question to Rip's question to Steve. Steve,
I
think you're not on the call now, I don't think.
I am on the call.
Oh, good. Okay.
I've been on the call all along.
Okay. Well, Rip kind of directed a question to you about, you know, you had mentioned membership also, which I don't fully understand, I'm afraid. So maybe you could just let us know what your objective was in bringing this agenda item up and what you'd like to, where you'd like to see it be going.
Okay, two issues. I brought it up because, as I said before, the archives is often in the position of selling these CDs they produce. And number one, it's a bad practice for a 501c3 corporation. Number two, it generates resistance because a person, as I've discovered in 25 years, a person may be unwilling to pay $25 for a CD recording, but delighted to get that CD recording free when he joins an organization that costs only $25 to join.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a psychological fact that everyone in fundraising understands quite well, and you either use it or ignore it at your own peril. And to be a membership organization can be many kinds. You can be one like BAI, where everybody votes. You can be one like the Metropolitan Opera. You're a member because you gave them $100 for the year, and they give you a little card that says, I'm a member, a supporting member of the Metropolitan Opera. So what? But now they've got something. Also, if a membership costs $25, let's say, it's not as if you're buying something that costs money. It costs nothing. The organization is giving away something that doesn't cost anything, but yet the recipient feels that they've gotten something of value.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a complex thing. The other issue is that when you combine the two, you can give away things in return for membership. And that's a very productive scenario for generating funds, and I've used it very often, and it works. It doesn't involve any commitment on the part of the archives or the organization, except to keep doing what it is that people joined them at in the first place, which I assume Brian has no trouble in doing, as he plans to turn the archives into a singles bar. So that's what I had in mind. Another point is, I would also like to have a situation which Brian does not simply decide to create a package and then get the clearance, which costs money, because the packages that may be the most worthy are often, in fact, almost usually, not the best packages for fundraising. That's a sad fact of life. And I would much prefer if I could cherry pick from the archives and say, this looks like it could raise us a lot of money, get the clearance on that. For example, I asked him a while ago what the status was of George Carlin's 7 Dirty Words broadcast. George Carlin is very famous. He's very left. He's always current. And if we brought that out again, we can find some anniversary for which it might be relevant, whether his birthday or the Supreme Court decision or anything, and say, you know, here are the seven dirty words that George Carlin said to the Supreme Court, or anything at all. It would get a lot of attention. It would raise a lot of money. And it depends on getting a clearance. But that's not a worthy package.
That was actually a copyrighted LP.
What does that mean?
It's somebody just played a record. That's what we went to court about.
Okay.
Right, so that wasn't a good example, I guess.
Well, okay, but it's a different thing. It's still a broadcast. And we could ask George Carlin if we could give it away free. He may say yes. And then it's a historic broadcast, and it is. We went to court over the broadcast. And so it is a legitimate Pacifica broadcast, and it would generate a lot of attention.
Mm-hmm. I have a follow-up question to Brian on that. Has a membership system ever been explored for the archives?
I don't think so. Not as far as I know. I know that, since I've been there, I've sort of stayed away from it because we know that there's an administrative cost that we haven't thought out.
There are no costs.
Please don't say that there are no costs in creating a membership.
There are no costs. I will say it again. I created a membership for Free Speech Radio News. The cost was zero. You've got to. I don't argue with you over archiving. You can't argue with me over something I do know about.
Okay. No argue. Well, don't argue.
Well. I mean, even
just
if it was
present a budget,
some kind of basic annual membership, just an annual thing, and you just get one recording. I don't know. I mean, it is. It's a way that we could. I mean, I thought of it right away for this tape restoration project. A person could buy a membership in the tape restoration project, you know, or a share or something like that. But anyway, after listening to Steve, I just wanted to ask if the membership had ever been explored, and that's all I had to ask.
Right. No, and you know, I'm not even saying that it's a bad idea. It's just that it comes with a lot more than just zero cost, and that's it. Because it is something that the staff would have to do something about, even if it is once a year with, you know, 5,000 CDs. I don't know what it would be, but it would be something that we just have to figure it out. And as far as the George Carlin thing, I think you wrote me just about a couple weeks ago about that, Steve.
I did, yes. Yeah, no, I'm not.
So are you asking? No, I haven't responded to it yet. It's only been a couple weeks.
I wasn't criticizing. It was only a suggestion.
We do have some great programs and discussions about that. You know? Don't we, Brian?
About the program. Oh, yeah. I mean,
yeah.
There's like there could be a 3-CD set on it because there are panel discussions about the program throughout the ages, actually. I think there's like a 25-year span of talking about it.
Yeah.
Now you're adding to the cost. I want to do a 1-CD or 1-DVD of thing that incorporates the 7 dirty words, which is very short. It's a 10-minute routine, plus some additional programs that talked about it and put it on one disc, because when you do 3 discs, you triple the price and triple the postage, and it becomes more difficult to use it as an inexpensive premium.
Or a gift.
Okay.
There's the other.
All right, well,
you guys, I'm sorry, this is Bonnie. I really have to go. I've got to go open a building for people. So I am going to take off away from the call. Thank you all for being on. And
thank you,
Bonnie. Could someone just email me if you guys do continue with your discussion and there are any things that I should add to the minutes from them?
Well, maybe we should just move to leave because you're the secretary, too.
I know, it's up to you.
How about a next date?
The next date of the regular archive meeting is the
next date. I haven't even been
fourth weekend of November. Hold on a minute.
I would say November 11th would be a good day because that the postcard and the fund drive materials should be ready by the 10th. So the 11th. So after the 10th.
Oh, you mean 13th? Have an extra meeting then.
The 13th.
Saying?
That way we can give information and get people to actually see the materials we can give them to put out and however they want to put them out.
In the meantime, are they ever going to open up any archives on the on that show, the from the vault?
Are we going to do what?
I've yet to hear a single episode.
You can go on the web and stream it now.
Okay, good.
Go to the fromthevaultradio.org, and then at the bottom of every program description, there should be a listen button.
I'm just so tired of salivating over it.
Well, now you can listen to some of them.
I will do that and salivate at the same time because it sounds incredible.
Well, thanks. And you'll be happy to know, Melinda, that we're planning a Texas two-step hour for the Archives Fund Drive Day.
Yeah,
and
cool.
Ann Richards, Molly Ivins, and Jim Hightower stuff. The old
days. Beautiful.
Dude, that'll work.
So the day is the 13th?
The day of the meeting would be the 13th.
Time?
Yep.
5:30 Pacific.
Okay.
Outstanding.
Thanks. Okay. Agenda move to leave.
I move to adjourn.
Okay. Can I just understand, are we adding an additional meeting? Are we also having a meeting on the 27th of November?
No, Brian cannot meet on the 27th of November
with
a fund drive
neither,
on the 28th.
Neither can I, because I have to do something with you on that
Right.
Let's scratch that because it's on the agenda. I mean, it's been scheduled.
Okay, so should we meet on the 13th instead?
Yes.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Okay, bye.
Thank you, everyone.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.